Welcome to No Two Gays About It, the show for the over 50 gay male, about the over 50 gay male, and hosted by two well over 50 gay men. Hi, I'm Tom Burke.
And I'm Michael Foley.
And today we're going to talk about bitchy, judgmental gay guys and why we're still doing this at this age. First, we're going to take a look at who in our community is being so judgmental. Next, we'll take an honest look as to why so many gay men in our community are still being so judgy and why it's even a thing. And then finally, we're going to take a look at how we can move past this trope of the bitchy, queeny, gay guy, and learn how to just be there and support each other as we're aging. So take off those rhinestone glasses, because reading others is not always fundamental. Thank you, RuPaul. And join us as we take on judgment in the over 50 gay community.
But before we get started, did you guys know we have our own private Facebook group? Become a member of our YouTube and our Patreon, and for as little as a dollar, you will gain access to the No Two Gays community. You'll also get early access to our episodes and bonus content. So hop on over to Patreon and YouTube and join our family and keep the show going strong, guys. Thank you.
Yeah, if you're watching us on YouTube, make sure that you hit like and subscribe and tell everybody you know to subscribe as well. And hit that little bell so that every time we have a new show, you will be notified. All right, you bitchy queen, you Mr. Michael Foley, let's take on judgment. Who is actually judging people in our community?
I think, unfortunately, it's everybody at one point or another, but some people have raised that bar and have made it an art form.
Yes, you have. You've done a really good job with that.
Wait, let me get my mirror and hold it up to you.
Okay, so transparency and everything, I get paid to be judgmental. That's my job out there in life. I am an image consultant for models and actors. Agents send me people and tell me to fix them. But that's on a professional level. So yes, I can be very judgmental about how you're packaged and how you take pictures and all that stuff. However, personally, I just don't get this whole trope of the bitchy queen thing.
Yeah, and I think there's ways of doing it where you're being constructive, as opposed to trying to tear down. And I think what we're going to try to hit today is the tearing down part.
Oh, totally. I mean, just the other evening, I was in an event and someone was talking about somebody else and they're like, oh, you know, I probably shouldn't say this, but it's like, no, you shouldn't say it.
If those words come out of your mouth, then guess what? Keep it shut.
Same thing for, you know, oh, come on, you know, I'm just joking.
Yeah.
No, you're not just joking. You mean it. That's why you're saying it, but you're putting on that like, oh, it's just a joke thing to make you feel better? No, that's not how it works.
I think that one is the one that irks me more than anything else.
Yeah.
When they see your reaction and then they're like, oh, I was just joking. It's like, no, you're not. You tried to take me off at the knees, you know?
Right. You know, oh, I don't mean anything by this, or, you know, better you hear it from me, or, you know, just that kind of ganging up kind of thing when a couple guys start doing it. Yeah. I mean, we all have that friend or that guy in our group who is the bump bump, the funny gay guy who's going to cut down everybody and it's a big joke. And I'm always thinking like, yeah, it's not really a big joke. It kind of is mean.
If someone is, you know, being sort of a jokester and being funny, the community I grew up in was the drag and the trans community. So that was a banter. But the thing that's missing, I think, from a lot of guys is being able to be self-deprecating. That as much as you go after other people, you should go after yourself as well. And when that's missing, then someone's doing it to undermine someone else's sense of self.
I think that is one of the positives or great things about Joan Rivers. That, yes, she was really catty and she was really cutting people down. But like you said, she was also cutting herself down.
Yeah. I mean, how many times did we hear her talk about how dry her vagina was?
Well, yes, we have. I mean, but just that, it's like, okay, so I'm cutting myself down, so then I'm going to cut other people down. It still doesn't make it right, though. You know, even our cattiest, gayest friend out there who is cutting people down, even if they say something about themselves, it still doesn't make it right, I don't think.
Yeah, again, I think it's the delivery process. Because like you said, Joan Rivers was a great example of somebody who was able to walk that line. And I do think for a lot of us in our community, you know, that we do use that banter as a way of sort of connecting with each other, that it's fun. It's like doing the dozens. Remember that expression, doing the dozens?
Where you sort of I've never heard that.
Oh, okay. It basically is just the, you know, when your mama sits around the house, she really sits around the house, and then somebody comes back at you with another thing, and it's meant to be playful. It's not meant to, again, there's a way of playing when I think it's not judging, it's playing, as opposed to somebody, again, who, like that guy who approached you and was like, oh, I really shouldn't be talking about this.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's the Gladys Kravitz one that's there's no redeeming quality. It's like Mean Girls, I think, sometimes.
Totally, Mean community. Girls. Yeah. Well, I think this guy, this gay guy in our community who loves to, you know, be catty and judgmental is definitely the mean girl. Let's talk about why, though. Why is this guy, or why do so many of us? I'm not putting it on one guy.
Yeah, because like we said, at one point or another, we all do it.
Oh, please. Yeah. Yes, we all can be that person.
Yeah.
We all can laugh with and at that person, but to really like break it down, tear it down to the you know, rawness of it, why is this such a thing in our community? Why did this bitchy, catty queen get put on this pedestal to be like, she's the funny one, she's the, it's so great, you know? Yeah. Where did it come from?
I think a lot of that judgmental attack mode has become a defense mechanism for a lot of guys our age, because we had so much hurled at us when we were younger that deflection becomes a part of that. So you throw it back out and you do it in a way that's incredibly hurtful because you're hurt. You know, you said this once on a previous show, hurt people hurt people.
Yes.
And, you know, it's incredibly true.
Well, definitely that. I think also if I hit first, then when you hit me back, it's not so bad. If I, you know, the other thing is that we as children, all of us, our age group, we didn't have really positive role models of gay men out there. You know, the people that we did see were these people, the catty, bitchy, judgmental queens, Paul Lynn, Charles Nelson Reilly. Like, they were the ones that were so funny, and we all laughed with them. A lot of people were laughing at them, but I think that's something that we learned from watching these men. Like, if I make the jokes, then they're not laughing at me, they're laughing with me.
Right.
So if I can strike first, they're not going to hit me.
Somebody wrote a book about Paul Lynde and discussed this very thing, that he was, his way of getting affection and attention was to make people laugh.
Yeah.
And regardless of at what expense, that's how he interacted in the world. And yet, ironically, he was an incredibly sad man who was an alcoholic and struggled with so many issues during the course of his life. So I think if we work on our wounds, the less likely we are to hurl that hurt back at somebody else.
Well, I think it's, you know, from the time we first realized our sexuality, and some of us were really young when that happened, we started building up these walls of, you can't hurt me, so I'm going to strike first. I'm going to be the funny one. I'm going to make fun of everybody else. Whether you are straight or gay, making fun of somebody else, you're doing it to make yourself feel better. You know, you're finding somebody's flaw so that you can be the bigger guy and feel better about yourself. And I find that so true within our community. You're wondering, like, why are you cutting down all these other gay guys just to make yourself feel good? You know, like, that to me never really made sense.
You know, it just, it's so cliche at this point because we all lived through the 80s and the self-help realization decades.
Right.
But it is our wounded inner child, and it just becomes our go-to reaction is to lash out at the world. Like, how old were you when you realized, you might not have been able to say I'm gay, but you knew something was different.
Right.
Definitely. You know, when your peers are talking about girls, you're like, oh, I don't feel that way about girls, but I do feel that way about boys.
Yeah.
How old were you?
I don't know exactly. I was young enough to know that, I still, you know, throughout high school, college, dated girls, was trying to do the thing you were supposed to, or at least, you know, have that beard so that no one could hurl anything at me, the, you know, F words, whatever. But I think something that you said about our inner child, also takes us to being a child and things we experienced as children also forms our instincts to be judgmental. You know, if you grew up in a family that in a world where there was like a lot of drugs and alcohol abuse, and I think when you're an adult, you tend to judge a little bit more people drinking or taking drugs.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? Yeah, I do that sometimes because I'm not a big drinker. If I have a drink every 6 months, that's a lot. So when I see people who drink every day, my knee-jerk reaction is to judge them because I grew up with an alcoholic mother and an alcoholic father and a mother who was addicted to, prescription pain medication. So I have to realize that's a hot button for me. And just because someone has a martini every night doesn't make them an alcoholic. So I tend to be able to check myself and go, that's your shit. That's not on them. And I would never say to somebody, oh, you're having a martini? Because I realize that's my shit, right?
Right. Yeah, and because that's the way you were raised in that which also you needed to build up some armor to that so that you take that into judgment as an adult. And we all have different kinds of experiences, whether you're from a family that, you know, didn't quite feel like they fit in whatever their community was. You learned as a child how your parents were kind of putting down the other people to make themselves feel good. And that just became something you saw. Or if you grew up in a family of status, where status was so important, you tended to look a little bit down on everybody else. And then you bring that into your judgmental adulthood. So there are a lot of reasons why we are in our community, this trope of bitchy, catty, judgy queens. Doesn't make it right, but there is a lot of reasons why.
Because I know you know this, it's part of our DNA. Yes. It's in our genetic makeup to judge because we have, you know, our Neanderthal part of our brain is trying to figure out if it's a safe place for us, right? And it's that fight or flight response that kicks in. And that's just part of our makeup, our genetic makeup.
Right.
But, I think we tend to sort of get on that horse and ride it into arenas that have nothing to do with that and have everything to do with tearing other people down.
That's the thing, tearing people down basically to make ourselves feel better. But it also can be really funny. You know, like I mentioned earlier, the RuPaul quote of reading is fundamental. If anyone watches Drag Race, every season they do that, they put the glasses on. The library is open. Why? Because reading is fundamental. Oh, that's from Paris is Burning, where, you know, each queen says something about every other one, you know, a kind of like a dig, putting them down some way. And we all laugh and it's all funny. And so it's out there, but I'm still a little bothered by it. Like, I'm laughing, but I'm still a little bothered by that, you know?
I think, see, stuff like that, because again, I was raised in the drag community. Right. So reading was a huge thing. It's like, girl, I'm going to read your ass, you know, 60 right. ways from Sunday. If it's done in a playful way, and again, because for me, there is a way of doing that and not really judging somebody, because, you know, I'm sure you have friends and you do this to yourself, where, and you do it with me all the time, where you have sort of character flaws that you know, oh, I shouldn't have these. Like, mine's my love handles. So, you know, and I make it a point to tell people about that, you know, I've made peace with them. So if somebody like comes at me about my love handles, I've made peace with my love handles and I can laugh about it, honestly. And if somebody comes at me in regard to that, or my flat feet, or, you know, a thousand other things that, you know.
Well, let me ask you though, honestly, really, if someone says something about your love handles, don't you like go away later and just think like, damn. It
no.
hurt.
Okay, no. Let me change that no to a qualified no. If it's somebody I don't know and who doesn't know me and is coming at me saying, "Ooh, girl, you got love handles," or, you know, "Ooh, you're a little chubby around the middle," and I'm like, "Fuck you, bitch!"
Right.
If it were you, again, we go back to Joan Rivers. I can laugh at that because, again, I've made peace with it. But that person who doesn't know me doesn't have that right.
Right. Okay.
To come at me like that. So I think there is that line to walk where we realize it's a playful banter, or whether somebody is being a bitchy queen and judging you to make themselves feel better. You know, I worked in a gay bar for a long time. Those people were in the bar all the time, where they would see something in somebody and they went in on it. It was like a fucking attack dog.
Right.
And to me, that's really the worst kind of person that is out there. And you realize that they're coming from a place of hurt and that they need to make themselves feel better, but it doesn't make it any better in the moment.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I've had a really blessed life. I've talked about this a lot, whatever. I have had people trying to put me down since I was a kid, all through my adulthood, you know, but it doesn't make it any better. Like, I know that they're doing that to make themselves feel better. I know that they're doing that so that I don't, whatever. But when you go home, someone still says something really mean to you. It still does touch you, because it then takes you back to being that young gay guy where the, you know, my sister's boyfriend said like, "Yeah, you fag," or whatever. Like, anytime something negative, even if you can justify it, "Oh, they're just saying that because I," whatever, "they want to feel better about themselves," it still is going to touch us. It's still going to hurt us. This just made me think of this story. When I first came to LA, I was at a dinner party, a big CAA, that's the agency, party, and the actor, I think he just got an Academy Award. He's now, I can't think of his name.
Give me a clue.
Gay guy who was caught like diddling guys in London in a bathroom or something. American Beauty movie.
Oh, Kevin Spacey.
Kevin Spacey, right. So he's at this table with us, right? And he is doing this Paul Lynde interpretation. It was really good. Really funny. And he's going around this table saying something negative about each person, and we're all laughing and laughing. You know, he says something about me and I kind of laugh and whatever. On my way home, I was thinking, that really wasn't nice. You know, not just what he said about me, but about everybody else. But it gave him that excuse. It goes back to that, like, "Oh, I probably shouldn't say this," or "I don't really mean anything," or "No, I'm just kidding." No, you're not just kidding. You want to say this, you want to make us feel bad, or whoever it is that you're saying that to, and you want this group around you to look at you and go like, "You are so funny, pump you up. I just still, even though, yes, I'm laughing at, you know, whoever, I'm laughing at RuPaul when they're all reading everybody, I still find it hurtful.
Yeah, maybe, you know, you're absolutely right, you know, because a lot of times we will excuse it. Like, oh, they were just trying to be funny, but it does ding up our chassis, you know, it does leave dents. Still, after all these years, you're right, it does.
It brings back some of the pain that we felt. And why? Yeah. Because we're doing it to each other. We all know how it feels to be hurt. We've all been hurt. Everybody in our community has had something slung at them, by our parents, by our friends, by our family, by strangers. So why are we doing this to each other?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. Why don't we, instead of sitting there reading somebody, why don't we just say, you know, oh my God, I love what you're wearing. Oh my God, your eyes are so pretty. You know, oh my God, did you get a haircut? You look great. Like, right. Yeah. You're right. Throw compliments instead of daggers.
We could still be funny. And so many of those bitchy catty queens are really innately funny.
Yeah.
That if they just move their humor away from digging at others and just make their humor about something else, they're still going to be funny. They're still going to be the life of the party. We're still going to laugh. You know, Kevin Spacey was still a talented guy and funny when he wasn't making fun of other people. So I know that's our kind of go-to because that's how we've been trained. That's what happened to us. But I think now we have to figure out, now that we know who's doing it, basically everybody in our community, why they're doing it, because of our childhood, because of, you know, the fear of not fitting in, because of to make ourselves feel better, whatever. Now we have to figure out, how can we move past this trope of being bitchy catty queens and just learn how to support each other as we're aging? We've only got each other. So how can we move past all of this, Michael?
I think acknowledging that we all do it, that we all can be hurtful at times to other people. And we are doing it because, you know, we're having a bad day. And it's going to make us feel a little bit better to sort of take somebody out, you know, just by throwing a barb. So I think acknowledgement probably is the first step, as with anything.
Obviously, acknowledgement of ourselves, you know, all being aware of when we're doing it, whatever. But if someone, say someone is throwing barbs at you, someone is being very judgmental about you in a funny way, I don't mean anything. Would you call that person out?
Again, for me, it depends on who it is. If it's a close friend, I can play it. I'll come back at you with something, you know. So, but if it is somebody, like I said, I worked in a gay bar for a long time. If it's somebody I didn't know and attempted to, like, oh, you work in a bar, you know, sort of that who are you kind of thing.
Right.
Then yeah, I could take somebody out at the knees easily. And enjoy it.
Well, not so much taking them out. I'm asking calling them out, saying like,
well,
hey.
That's what I mean by calling them out. Like, I will come at you so hard. If you throw a rock and I don't know you, you probably should expect a boulder back, because that became my defense in the bar arena.
Okay.
So.
But you know that's not a good way to handle it, right?
In that arena, it's probably the quickest way to handle it. Let's do that.
Okay,
I'll tell you one experience I had.
Okay,
where this pretentious LA queen who walked in the bar with a fur coat to start with, and it was like
fabulous.
May. Okay. So why are you wearing a fur coat? But he wanted everybody to know that he was the thing. And he sat down at the bar, and I walked over and said, "Can I get you anything?" And he was like, "I'm not ready." And I went, "Okay." And started to walk away, and he went, I probably got about 10 feet away from him, and he went, "I'm ready," and snapped his finger. And I have to tell you, everybody who was sitting at the bar did exactly what you just did. They were like, oh, this is going to be good.
Yeah.
I walked over to him very nicely, and I said, "Get out." And he went, "Excuse me?" I said, "Get the fuck out of the bar." And he looked at me and was like, "Do you know who I am?" And I said, "Do you know who I am?" And he was like, "The owner?" I said, "No, I'm a child of God, just like you are. And you do not have the right to do that." And let me tell you something, he went pale. It was like somebody threw a bucket of cold water on him. And he got up from his stool and he walked out of the bar without another word. So depending on the situation, you know, and I didn't happen to be that busy. So I was like, I'm going to go in, and I'm going to go in a really nice way.
Okay. But okay. So that's like work setting. I get that in a bar setting. Great. But what about if someone comes at you on a personal level, you know, how would you handle that?
I call people out, but, you know, it's a thing I do. And maybe I think I got that sort of go-to response from the community I was raised in. Again, you know, you don't let things go. You sort of stand in your space and go, I'm not taking this. That's just me. A lot of people, you know, how do you deal with it? Do you call people out?
Yeah, I'm trying to think about that. You know, like I said, the other evening, somebody said this thing. And I was thinking, I didn't say anything at that moment. I'm not going to say anything, I don't think. But I, you know, later said to with my husband, I don't think I want to do anything with this couple anymore because of that. And it wasn't even any judgment at me. I just don't like that they were putting other people down.
So what was the thing that held you back from saying to him, you know what, I don't want to hear it? Like was it just the environment you were in and you didn't feel like it was appropriate?
Yeah, I think that was part of it. Also, it would start something and it wasn't the place to start something. Gotcha. And also not a good enough friend. Like if it was a really good friend, I'd be like, shut the fuck up. You know, like don't say that to people or whatever. Yeah. I would call somebody out if I knew them really well, but these are just like acquaintances. And so instead of just doing that and dealing with it, I'm like, yeah, let's not deal with those people. But that guy is that way all the time, you know? And you know this too, from working in bars, there are those people that when they get drinking, then it starts. But other people are like, that's just Joe Schmo when he's drunk. Right. Just, you know, who cares? No. If he's doing it when he's drunk, that's just giving him the freedom to say what he actually feels. And right. I don't think that's right. But I think where it really has to start is with ourselves, because nobody can judge me more than I judge myself. No one can be cattier to me than I am.
Isn't that the truth?
And I think if we can stop doing that to ourselves, especially, I mean, dude, we're so old now, you know?
Yes.
We can't keep doing this to ourselves. We can't keep cutting ourselves down to make ourselves feel better. If that makes no sense, but I know we're all doing it, you know?
Yeah. I think that's so one of the things that we learned from doing this show, is that regardless of our age, we still, you know, we say in our heads, oh, we should be over this by now. But the reality is,
we're not.
We still got a lot of road to hoe, you know? And go ahead.
I think we're seeing also with a lot of the guy, we have the best guys who are out there watching us and listening to us, and they're writing to us and sharing their stories, which Michael and I both so appreciate. So keep that up.
Yeah.
But we are learning that, especially from guys that are a lot older than us, that it's not going away. That these feelings that hit us as children because we had to hide or we were tormented because of who we are, they don't go away. So why are we continuing to do that to ourselves? Why are we continuing to do that with our friends? You can still be a bitchy, catty queen without being mean and judgy.
Without a doubt.
And like I said, switch your humor over to something else.
Yeah.
You're still going to be really funny. I find a lot of these, you know, really catty, queeny guys really funny. But they're also really funny when they're talking about other things other than just judgment, you know? And as we're also finding as we're aging, we only have each other. A lot of us don't have families. A lot of us are losing our friend group. A lot of us are, you know, being so isolated that why would you keep cutting down your people?
So maybe the next step after acknowledgement is accountability, that we hold ourselves accountable as much as we hold other people accountable. Sort of, if you see something, say something, you know, and just let people know that it's not acceptable.
Right. All right. So I'm putting that over to you. Except when I judge you about your cargo shorts, If you see me being judgmental, you can say something to me.
Don't I?
Yes,
I want to be buried in my cargo shorts. You know why? Because you could put more stuff in my pockets.
And here's the thing. I want you to be buried in your cargo shorts because I'm going to be the one standing there looking in that coffin going...
Applauding.
Can you fucking believe he wore cargo shorts? Like, seriously. No, kidding. But all right, yeah, we... Obviously, it's not only the accountability, not only is it awareness, not only do we have to stop judging ourselves and be accountable for that when we see ourselves judging ourselves, but also I guess we have to step up and kind of say something to everybody else. Or you know what? Maybe we're wrong, Michael. Maybe we're on the wrong side. Maybe everyone out in our community loves judgmental bitchy queens. Could we be wrong?
I gotta go with no, because if it's hurtful, if it's hurtful,
yeah,
I know we disagree on a lot of things. I think we're on the same page with this one. If it's hurtful, I don't think anybody enjoys that, especially when it's directed at them. That, like you said, you go home and you think about it. It's sitting there. The comment's sitting there.
Yeah.
So let's try not to be hurtful when we speak to our community members. And like you said, especially as we get older, we need to count on each other.
We do. And we also have to leave a legacy. And that legacy is the examples that we are modeling for the younger generation, you know? And I think that's another thing that we need to leave is, we went through a lot of crap to get where we are. We went through a lot of hurt. We went through a lot of loss. We went through a lot, but we're still the bigger people. And I think if we can show that to the younger generation, that's a great legacy for all of us as well.
Without a doubt. And to let them, to let people know we struggle. Excuse me. To let people know we struggle, I think is hugely important. Because that's one of the things we're learning through the comments that these amazing people who are listening to us send us, is that they've experienced a lot of the same feelings and issues that we have. And then it makes us feel not so alone. And they're telling us it makes them feel not so alone. So it's huge we share these conversations that just go a little bit deeper than penis size or somebody's butt. That we share the real stuff too. I mean, you could still talk about penis size or butt, but have
Don't
a real
judge
conversation. Because, there's something to be said about it.
Let's turn the pages, turn the whatever it is, and throw this out to all of the guys out there who are listening and watching us. It's your turn to judge us in a good way, I hope. But what is your judgment about what we're talking about? Do you agree with us? Do you feel that it is such a... is it an important part of our community? Should we be okay with it? How do you feel about judgment and cattiness and queeniness and that whole bitchy trope that is out there?
Let us know.
Yeah. And the whole mean girls thing. Well, the mean girl, that's taking it really far. Like, they're purposely being mean.
Right.
Those mean girls are mean. And that's not right. So we would love to hear from you guys out there. First of all, wherever you're listening or watching to us, leave a comment. Let us know how you are feeling about judgment. And are you a judgmental person? Do you mind being judged? Do you like judging? So wherever you're listening to us, leave us a comment. Not only does that help us know how you're feeling and helps you join the conversation with us, but it also gets us out there so that other guys can find us. And we really would love your help. Let everybody know about us. Tell your friends. These two old, bitter, bitchy queens, those no two gays about it, they're freaking awesome. Go subscribe to YouTube and watch them.
Because they're fucked up and it's fun to watch. It's a train wreck.
But they're owning it, you know? You and I are both owning how
right?
fucked up we are. And I think, as you said, acknowledgement is the first step. So, Michael, how else, besides leaving a comment, can people find us and reach out to us?
You guys can find us on Facebook at No Two Gays About It. And just remember, it's the number two across all the social media. And we're also on Threads. and TikTok and YouTube. Don't forget YouTube, and jump on over to Patreon too. And speaking of Patreon, we want to send a huge shout out and a thank you to three of our members at the executive producer role. And that is Ted Zalewski, Cesar Montero, and David Tiley. We thank you so much for your support, because we really couldn't be doing this without your help.
We couldn't, guys. Thank you so much. Really appreciate that. But we appreciate everybody who is tuning in and finding us and, as I said, sending us the best notes to join our conversation. So thank you all of you out there. And so I guess that does it for this week and this week of being judgmental and judgy. So thank you, Michael, for sharing your thoughts and ideas on that. And please never wear those cargo shorts again. So until next time, Michael.
Until next time, Tom. I'm wearing them now. We'll see you next week, guys. Thank you.
See ya.